Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the other line for the first time in a few weeks is Damien Arcetis from pickandroll.com.au. Mate, welcome back to the show. You've been missed.
Oh, thank you. And it's just been a busy time, but hasn't it been a lot of exciting things going on in the world of basketball, and particularly for some of the Aussies in college hoops?
Well, that's where I want to start off. So I've been watching quite a bit of college hoops over the past couple of weeks, and there's one guy that has kind of stood out for me above and beyond any of the other Australians that I've seen so far on TV, and that is Baylor big man Joe Lawal Achiuwa Jr. He is a beast. He is coming currently. He's ranked as the second highest blocks per game in the nation. He's just really controlling the defensive glass, mate. He's such a fun player to watch. It's pretty much, I said a couple of weeks ago on this podcast that Taco Fall, he's not Australian, but Taco Fall is probably one of the most exciting players to watch. 7'6". This is a guy that I've loved ever since I first saw him play, and he's obviously on the radar of a lot of NBA teams. Joe Lawal Achiuwa Jr. is not far behind him. He's that exciting, and I reckon he's got a big future ahead of him.
Yeah, he's been really exciting, and the fact is he's also playing on a nationally ranked team, Baylor at number 9, and they're undefeated at the moment, really surprising a lot of people. And one of the reasons for that is that man himself, the 6'10 big man, has been outstanding, manning the paint at both ends, but it's a combination of his energy, his athleticism, and when he's needed, he can finish as well. So he's been absolutely outstanding for them. And just to give you an idea, you know, you mentioned he's second in the nation for blocks per game. He's 4.4 a game is huge, but he's also delivering nearly 10 points a game and 8 rebounds a game. So that's just a fantastic effort from the big man.
Absolutely. I have him at 4. I have him at ranked 4. I don't know where you're looking. I've got him on the 8 people.
They moved up to 4. Last week they were 9. My apologies.
Up to 4. Their record's 8-0. By the end of the month, we could see them become the one seed, I think. They've been playing such a good brand of basketball. They're beating good teams as well. They're not just beating, you know, these mid-major programs. They've got 4 wins over the top 25 teams.
They certainly have. So at the Battle for Atlantis, they had to beat Michigan State, who are nationally ranked, before they faced Louisville, who, of course, got Deng Adel and Mango Massiang, Aussies there, who are nationally ranked. And they're number 10 at the moment, I think, from memory. And they beat them in the final there in the Bahamas. And then they backed up with a win over current number 7, Xavier.
Yeah, phenomenal game. And a lot of it went down to Lawal Achiuwa Jr.'s ability to, contest all the mid-range game and just dominate the glass and all that sort of stuff. He's been playing phenomenal basketball. But it goes, I just want to quickly touch on, before we move on, because we have plenty to talk about and not a lot of time, the talent, and we've mentioned this a few times, the talent in the top 25 is abundant for Australian teams. We've got, if you just go down, obviously we've got Baylor at 4, Duke at 5, Kentucky at 6, Louisville at 11, St. Mary's at 12, Arizona at 20. That's some big-time programs we have Australian representation at.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it signals the changing landscape for Australian basketball.
St. Mary's still undefeated as well. St. Mary's and Baylor undefeated.
Yeah, and you talk about, Lawal Achiuwa Jr., capturing your attention. Well, what about Jock Landale for St. Mary's? Nearly averaging 20 points a game. I think he's at 8 rebounds a game, or he's nearly averaging a double-double, 20-10. Now, the last person that went and did that was just about Ben Simmons, who's playing in, well, he hopefully will be playing in the NBA soon. So that's just an outstanding effort in St. Mary's. I've got a best ever national ranking right now, and they've got 7 Aussies on their team, which is just amazing. So Emmett Nahr is in the top 5 for assists in the nation as well. So we should definitely be talking about him.
Now, a few years ago, one of my favourite players to watch at the college level was Ryan Brokoff. He has since moved and playing his ball in Europe, and you wanted to touch on him today.
Most certainly. He had a bit of a slow start to the season, struggling with his shot. And, and in reality, Lokomotiv Kuban, which is his team, really struggled to open the season as well, but they've since bounced back. And during the week, Lokomotiv upset the current EuroLeague champions in the VTB United League, which was a massive, massive win at home. And Ryan Brokoff was in the thick of things, 4 of 7 from long range, hit a buzzer beating at the halftime break, and hit a dying 3 in the last minutes to basically get them the win and seal it. And he was outstanding there. And in Europe as well, you've got Brock Modum's probably been the star, and he's led his team to the top of the Lithuanian table, and they've been playing in EuroLeague as well. And then you've also got Ben Madjan, who's been outstanding for Lietkabelis, I think is how you say it, in Lithuania. His team,
this is the only reason I want to talk European basketball, because I want to hear your pronunciations. I love it.
Yeah, I try my best. And his team is only a win or two behind Modem's team. So we've got the Aussies heading the table in Lithuania. You've got Brokoff in the VTB United League, which is in Russia. And, there's just been some great performance. Clint Steindl has been in outstanding form. He posted 19 points the other week as well, and he's been hitting draining threes from everywhere. So it's great to see some of these Aussies playing well in Europe as well.
So we've got Australians dominating in college. We've got Australians dominating in Europe, and we've got Australians dominating in the NBA as well. Paddy Mills, Matty Dellavedova, two of those guys that are looking really good in the NBA at the moment. Unfortunately, Andrew Bogut has come down with an injury. He'll be out with a bruised knee probably for the next couple of weeks, it looks like. But have a bit of a chat about Paddy and Matty Dellavedova.
Yeah, how exciting have they been, though? Particularly Paddy. Paddy, for me, has been outstanding. We're looking at a potential NBA six-man right now of the year. That's how good he's playing. And
he's still on track for 50-40-90 season.
I know. How good is that? And I heard someone else yesterday say that every time Paddy scores 15, the Spurs don't lose. It's as simple as that. So, and he's been doing it regularly, and it's Mr. Consistency right now. And that's something he probably hasn't had the opportunity to do in the past, because he'd come in, he'd get an opportunity, and then Parker would come back and he'd sit down. And right now he's getting the opportunities, the regular opportunities, and he's grabbing it with two hands and making the most of it. And right now, he could be a starter on many other teams.
Yeah, and should be given a lot more opportunity than he is. What are the rules for the sixth man of the year? How many games are you allowed to start? Because he started four or five, I think, so far this season. Do you reckon he'll start more games as the season wears on and Tony Parker starts to sit a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know. But having said that, if he continues to play the way he is, he's making a very good case for starting ahead of Parker more often than not.
Yeah.
And, certainly Parker's, everyone knows, Parker's on the way out. He's still a very, very, very good player and shouldn't be ever doubted whatsoever. But the way Paddy's playing right now, he's playing like he is the man. He is the lead guard in the rotation at the Spurs right now, and the fact that he's in Aussie just makes it so much better.
Yeah, he's really thrived under the Pop's system, and he's probably chosen the best year to play his career best basketball, because he's out of contract.
He's
got a contract year, and he's probably in line for some big dollars.
It is indeed contract year. And right now he's looking like he's going to get or could potentially get a bigger deal than what Delly got. So to give you an indication, we're looking at some really big dollars for him next year. It might even come down to a choice. Does he stay with the Spurs on a lower salary and with an opportunity to keep winning? Or does he take a really big payday for another team? So some really interesting times ahead, but he's certainly putting his best foot forward.
Let's just touch on Delly for a second. We thought maybe once the news came out about him getting a movie made about him, that it might have all gone to his head and he might have got a bit distracted, but he's still playing fantastic basketball on a very, very fun team to watch.
How fun are they to watch? You know, he's really connected with the Greek freak over there, and some of the lobs he's been throwing and setting up to him has just been absolutely amazing to watch. We thought it would be fun. We spoke about it pre-season, how fun that would be, and it's turned out that way. Delly himself will probably say he hasn't had the season he would have loved, but he's certainly of recent times really switched it back on and really playing his role to near perfection on a Bucks team that is one of the most exciting and fun teams to watch, and they're doing very, very well as well. So it's great to see Delly being part of something special, and it'd be just great to see a bit more of Thon Maker too, I reckon. But on that note, have you seen Delly's new shoes now?
I have. They're all right. I think you like them more than I do.
Yeah, look, I'm not a man for green, so I'm going to call that out right now. But I think they've come out better than what I actually thought they would. And I think they're quite an appealing shoe. And he spent a lot of time and effort, I know, invested in designing that shoe and making sure it's a good fit and a high performance fit at that. And the extra time and effort that's gone into it is surely something the fans will appreciate.
Yeah, and just before we finish off, Damo, because we're almost done on this week's episode, you want to talk some WNBL?
I think we need to talk just a little bit of WNBL. The Dandenong Rangers have had a blinder of a weekend. They knocked over the emerging Sydney Flames, and then they backed it up with a massive road win at Bendigo to head back to the top of the table. And Bendigo have been one of the standout teams this year, so that's no mean feat at all. So really good signs for the Rangers, but the WNBL has just been so even. Like the NBL, which you guys have been talking about a bit in my absence.
Yeah.
It's just such a close season, and really there's four or five teams right now, you couldn't split them of who's going to win it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating season. Damo, thank you as always for joining us. We can read all your work at pickandroll.com.au. You can also hit up the Facebook page, facebook.com/pickandrollau. And on Twitter, twitter.com, or I guess you go at pickandrollau. And all your personal stuff, because we like to pump up you up personally as well, at Damien Arsenis, mate. Thank you for jumping back on. It was a pleasure to have you back, not in the chair because you're not in the studio, but wherever you are, it was a pleasure to have you back on the show, and we'll do it all again next week.
Sounds good, speak then.